Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithe on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Beloved, the gospel of the Lord. My dear family of God, as I said at the beginning of this Mass, the readings of today invite all of us to offer a humble disposition before God when we come into prayer. Beginning with the first reading, taken from the book of Ben Sirach. Sirach reflects on God's command given to the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 22, verses 22 to 23, when Moses commanded the family of Israel not to oppress the marginalized, the vulnerable social groups, particularly the widow, the orphans, the outcast. For the wrath of God would burn against anyone who would oppress any of these socially vulnerable groups. God, by this commandment, grants a special protection for such individuals. And so today, Ben Sirach defines God's justice in terms of these individuals. God is just not because he grants to everyone's prayer and everyone's request as everyone wants it, but he's just because he comes to the aid of these socially vulnerable individuals. And he hears the cry of the poor, as the responsorial psalm also affirmed, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. Those who have no advocate in life, the defenseless, is the Lord who comes to their aid. And therefore, he speaks to the people of Israel, reminding them once again the Lord's command given to the household of Israel through his servant Moses, that they should be mindful as to how they treat those who are vulnerable in their midst. And so God's justice is revealed in that sense, for the Lord grants a special protection for the defenseless. Beloved in Christ, Jesus takes up the theme of divine justice also reflecting alongside the rejected, the humble, those who do not matter in the sight of men. God grants them justice. And today he offers us the prayer of two people for us to reflect on and to make a choice and to make a decision. When we take chapter 18 of Luke's gospel, St. Luke in this chapter offers us two models of prayer. The first one, which we read last week, invites us to persevere in our prayer. In today's model, he invites us to offer our prayers with humility and then with total dependence on God. And so today, inviting us to offer our prayers in a humble disposition, Jesus narrates the prayers of two people. The first one is that of the Pharisee. The Pharisees appear before God, recounting his credentials, narrating all that he's been able to accomplish. In his mind, he thought that his adherence and obedience to traditional form of piety is in a way an automatic guarantee for divine blessing. And so he recounted all that he has accomplished. I pay you tithe. I'm not like the adulteress. I'm not like any other human being. Not even like this tax collector standing here. Those who despise others. Indeed, the tax collectors, the publicans, were treated as if they were secondary citizens, and they did not matter. So, recounting his deeds before God, he thought that that observance of traditional piety would bring upon him divine blessings, to the extent that he overlooked his need for divine mercy. And so he wouldn't ask for God's mercy. Now comes the tax collector. In a very humble disposition, he dared not even to lift up his eyes to look into the skies, into the heavens, but rather beating his chest, admitting his nothingness before God, would not dare to recount any of his credentials, but to offer two things, his misery and his sins. That's all that he lifted up to God. Be merciful to me. I am a sinner. I'm just a wretched person. I'm nothing before you. Grant me your mercy. This tax collector, we are told, went away from God's presence justified. Justified in the sense that he did not exalt himself, but he humbled himself before God, acknowledging his wretchedness, his nothingness, his emptiness before God, and offering up just his misery and his sins. Be merciful to me, a sinner. My dear people of God, when we enter into prayer and contemplate on the holiness of God, we cannot than to assume this humble disposition. And that is all the prophet in the Holy Scriptures who encountered God came to be. The obvious example is that of Isaiah. Isaiah finding himself in the presence of God at his call, said to himself, "Who am I? Oh, to me, who am I to see God and to live?" And when God needed somebody to send, he acknowledged his unworthiness. "I was born by a sinner, and I live in the midst of sinful human race. I'm not worthy." Confessing his sins before God made God to cleanse him and to make him a worthy instrument for his divine mission. And so, picking a coal of fire from the altar, he touched the lips of his prophet, sanctifying his lips to grant unto him that prophetic voice that Isaiah could undertake the mission of God. Such was the disposition of Isaiah. He acknowledged that he was not worthy to be in the presence of God. Beloved in Christ, Mother Church, mindful of this, whenever we come into prayer, begins with this humble disposition of Isaiah and of the tax collector. As all of us are invited in a moment of silence to examine our conscience, to admit our sinfulness before God, and to make a sincere confession in the penitential rite, so that the sacrifice that we come to offer, the Lord would accept, and through that also bless us. And so every minute or any time that we begin the Holy Mass with the penitential rite, Mother Church reminds us of this humble disposition of the tax collector. Appearing before God is not a moment for us to recount our good deeds before Him, for our good deeds appears just like rags before God. He comes not because we are worthy, but because He knows that we are sinful human beings and we stand in need of His mercy. And so God comes from His throne to meet us. He who desires our friendship to come and cleanse us and make us worthy to be in friendship with Him. And this is what we encounter every day at Mass. So it is a reminder to all of us today. It's not just a mere observance of rituals that at the beginning of every Mass we make confessions and we acknowledge our worthiness before God. But it is a call to that interior disposition, accepting who we are before God. And when we come before God, one thing is obvious to us. We come to see our nakedness. We come to see our emptiness. We come to embrace our nothingness before God. And it is that moment that God will clothe us, that God will make us to become something, when He grants unto us His mercy and His love. And that is what the penitential rite does to us. When we sincerely admit, examine our conscience, and with courage confess before God, He is there to extend unto us. It's the same attitude with which we are exhorted to embrace the sacrament of confession. God knows us true and true. There's nothing that we hide. What I love and what becomes my motivation in this sacrament are two things. When I reflect on Joshua's confrontation to Achan, when he said to him, "Achan, my son, confess to me all that you have done." And the Lord in His mercy will forgive you. Give praise to God. When we go for confession, we are there to praise God, for He is a just judge. Admitting our shortcomings before Him, He comes there down to cleanse us and make us worthy. That is Achan's invitation, Joshua's invitation to his servant Achan, when Achan had stolen from the booty and hidden the treasures. Approaching him, he said, "Achan, my son, give praise to God and confess to me all that you have done." That even in our sinfulness, we can praise God. And we praise God not with our good deeds, but with our sins, that the Lord Himself will come to cleanse us. The next thing that inspires me most, you as a penitent, kneeling before the priest, will lift up his hand to pray over you. God, the Father of mercies, through the death and the resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent forth the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These words of the absolution should inspire all of us. As long as we live in this human flesh, sin battles with us. We live with that concupiscence, the inclination to do evil. For us to be worthy before God, we need that sacrament of reconciliation and penance. And so, it's always edifying, especially my presence here, when every day before Mass, we have a very long queue of us going for confession. It's something gratifying and edifying. We encourage ourselves to continue to do what we are doing and even more, for we need the mercy of God to do well in life. Today, St. Paul tells us, as he prays for his opponents, the just judge will give me the crown of righteousness. But I pray that God will not hold their sins against them. St. Paul looks back 30 years in ministry with a deep sense of contentment and satisfaction. Now he climaxes his ministry with his own death. He sees his imminent death as a sacrificial offering of his life to Christ. So my life is just about to be poured out like a libation. Beloved in Christ, with that deep sense of fulfillment in life, when we have been reconciled with God, we are assured of one thing, that the just judge would grant unto us the righteous crown. May the Lord, who has invited us into his presence, reminding us once again our need of his mercy, give us his divine grace and blessing that will soften our hearts, that acknowledging our nothingness before him, with courage we shall make a sincere confession for his forgiveness and for his cleansing. May he bless us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.